Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Wilma Goldstein is going to be with us, I'm pretty sure, in a little bit. But we're having a little difficulty collecting her. As you know, she's in Washington, D.C. Sometimes the traffic and the metro doesn't work perfectly, so... So that's one of the reasons she's probably not with us yet, but she will be. But I want to continue to talk about something we were just talking about with our previous guest Elizabeth Thornton. She was talking about objectivity. So how do you actually practice objectivity? What are some of the tools that you gotta have to be objective, to be able to be objective? Because I know some of you who were listening to her. You know, you were when she was talking about being objective, you're thinking, well, but you know, I'm so excited about my business and I believe I can do it. I know you want to be objective, but how do you actually pull it off? Because when you try to blend what you believe you can do, what you think you can do, with maybe, you know, being more objective, I could see where that might be difficult for some people to pull off. Well, there are some structures that you can establish. There are some tools that you can establish that will help you do this. It will help you. You can even find out for yourself without an advisor necessarily to see whether what you're talking about is actually going to work. And those are financial models. Building a financial spreadsheet, primarily a cash flow statement. Though that's how you can find out, because see, business is a game where the rules are kept with money, basically. If you think about it, that's business is a game where the rules are money. The way you measure your success in terms of survivability. Not happiness. I'm not going to, you know, that's another story, whether you're happy or not. But in terms of being able to stay in business, it's based on how much money is involved and how long the money lasts and how the money, the relationship between the money coming in and the money going out, what that relationship is and whether it's a positive one or a negative one. And sometimes it's negative. The cash flow situation, for example, is negative, and you projected it to be negative. And even though nobody likes negative cash, it's something that happens, and sometimes you have to project for that. You have to prepare for that. You have to actually anticipate that. So if you build a financial model for your business, if you'll learn how to build a financial spreadsheet for your business that includes a cash flow projection, if you can learn how to do that, that one tool, that one structure will go an awful long way to bringing your vision, your passion, your dreams, putting that, all of that, the feet of all of that on the ground, at least from time to time. And here's how that works. You believe that you can, you know, you're gonna have this much in sales in this year or in the first 6 months or the first 12 months. But if you haven't actually built the model that shows how much expenses you're going to have, real expenses, that shows that, then you really don't know whether your sales projections have any kind of relevance or not, whether they're going to benefit you or hurt you. So what you have to do is you have to build a financial model that plots your business transactions, your business activity, revenue in the form of sales, as well as expenses in the form of disbursements. You got to plot all that on this timeline, on this financial spreadsheet, which is a timeline. It's a 12-month or maybe a 24-month timeline. So you got to be able to plot all of that on this financial spreadsheet. And when you do that, it's almost, when you can learn how to do that, folks, once you get used to doing it, you'll never be without it. Because what that financial spreadsheet will do, that cash flow spread model will do, it will reveal the future to you and allow you to actually prepare for the future and to be more objective. We'll talk a little bit more about this right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find our show and the archives of those shows, thousands of those, all the way back to 1999. And you can find articles all the way back to 1999 as well, when I started writing for Small Business, and Brain Trust members have contributed to our articles library, thousands of articles there that you can read on every topic, like the archives on every topic under the sun for Small Business. The Brain Trust is there. You can check them out. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog while you're there. Lots of good stuff there. And, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, which is where you can find Small Business Answers Now. I hope you'll check that out, too, and use it to your advantage. Everything is free. No barrier to entry. If you can show up, we'll let you in. You can use it to your advantage. I'm talking about objectivity, folks. I want to continue the theme that Elizabeth Thornton got us started on in the last half hour. And I know one of the things objectivity takes a hit sometimes is out of desperation or out of fear. A lot of times we don't like our job so much, and we feel that we got to get out of this. We want our own business. We see other people running a business, and we want a piece of that. So we have desperation, these desperation motives and influences, I should say, and I understand that. I've actually experienced that myself. Or we have fear. We're afraid that maybe our job, we're going to lose our job, we're going to be downsized, and maybe that's the reason to look into being a business owner. And you know what? I don't have a problem with any of that. Really, believe it or not, that's real life. That's life, you know. That's humanity, in the 21st century, where the rubber meets the road. I get that. That's not a bad reason to do any of that. I mean, I kind of did that myself, back in '89. In a way, my business got started not unlike that. But regardless of what motivates you to become a business owner, that still doesn't preclude the need to be objective. Even if you started your business out of desperation or out of fear or some extreme need, you still have to be objective about it. You still have to, because without objectivity, survival probably isn't possible. Because there are, as I said earlier, you still have to keep score. And you keep score largely initially and for a long time with cash flow, and then ultimately with profitability. That's the way it works. And so if you can't be, if all the excitement, all the enthusiasm, all the exuberance, all the passion, all the commitment, all the belief in yourself, all of that, even the greatest product in the world, is not going to help you be successful. If you can't plan your business, if you can't run your business with objectivity, I have a catchphrase that I use. You may have heard me say before, that a mentor once taught me about. He called it checking your position. And so whenever I run my business, I check my position in a lot of different places. I check with other people to see if what I'm saying, what I'm doing resonates with them. If I run it by other people and see what they think about it, let them help me harden my ideas into something that will be successful. And so from an idea standpoint, I talk to other people. I find people that I consider to be what Noah St. John calls loving mirrors. These are people who are capable of showing me, putting a mirror in front of me, in a way, and looking and showing me myself, reflecting myself back at me, so to speak. But doing it in a way that I feel I can trust them to care about me, and I can trust them to be smart enough about what I'm asking them about to give me good advice, to give me good feedback. And so find those people in your life that you feel can help you with your objectivity. Because it's not easy sometimes to be as objective about your own ideas. Those of you who've ever written anything, how easy is it for you to edit your own stuff? Well, you know what? It's not only not easy, it's almost impossible to successfully edit your own, whatever you've written. Because you've already got it in your mind, and when you read the words, you're thinking, all you see is what you intend to mean, not what is actually on paper. So somebody else has to see it with a fresh look. And your ideas, your entrepreneurial dreams need to have that same scrutiny. So find people who can help you with your dreams. Find people who can help you with your ideas, and help you make sure that what you're thinking about makes sense, that would make sense to a customer, would make sense to a banker, would make sense to an investor, would make sense to anybody that you might do business with as you go through the growth of your small business. And you're probably going to need more than one person. You're going to need somebody to help you with the accounting, the financial part, the legal part, the marketplace part, and also maybe even the employee part. You may want a half a dozen people who you find that you can trust, and you tell them your idea, you tell them your story, and you listen to what they have to say. And be careful about the ones that you don't like, the advice that you get that you don't like the most. That may be the best advice. The advice that hurts the most might be the best advice you get. 10 till. Come back. I'm going to talk some more about this objectivity thing right after these messages. Stay with us. Mr. Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, a great artist. Hope he's doing well. That's from the Innocent Age album, by the way, double album, maybe the best one ever produced. We're talking about objectivity. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here, glad you're staying with me. Elizabeth Thornton got all this started in the previous part of the hour with a white paper that she created on objectivity, and I'll give you that name here in a second. The name of the white paper is Objectivity, a Guiding Principle of Entrepreneurship, and I encourage you to check that out. You can Google her and that's one place you can find it. That's how I find her piece, find her white paper there. So check that out when you get a chance. But here, these are my ideas on objectivity after having talked to her. The last thing I told you before we went to the last break was about getting other people to help you to harden your mettle, so to speak, to make sure that you're heading in the right direction, that you're not about to run off a cliff with regard to customers and other elements of your business. But what it all comes back, though, to the way we keep score, and we keep score with cash flow and profits. And if you can't if you don't know anything about, you know, being a consumer doesn't really prepare you to become a business owner. That's a fallacy a lot of people consciously or unconsciously believe. Well, if I'm a consumer, I know how to buy from Walmart. I know how to sell stuff on eBay. I can be a business owner. Well, folks, it's different. That's not the same thing. And so if you can't, until you can really see how what the impact of time is on the operation of your business, the impact of time, and as Elizabeth said in the previous half hour, Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Until you can plot out that on a spreadsheet, on a financial spreadsheet, a cash flow statement, until you can see what it looks like with rent, when you build these things, you've got revenue at the top, you got expenses at the bottom, and you got whatever's left below that. I should say expenses in the middle, and whatever's left is at the bottom. And so what you do is you build your expense model, because those don't change hardly at all, right? Your rent's going to be the same every month. Your payroll is going to be the same every month. Your insurance is going to be the same every month. Your et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that in the expenses that are going to be variable are the cost of goods sold that based on how much you sell. And so, yes, if your sales go up or down, your expenses for cost of goods sold will go up or down. But what about inventory? What about the things you keep on the shelf just in case someone buys something, I should say? Well, that still has to be paid for. You have to write a check for that. That goes out of your checking account. So you build all this into your model, and then you establish the fixed things, the operating expenses and those things, and what you're going to pay for inventory and all that. You establish that. And then you have to see, and by the way, that number, and you might need some help with that if you aren't used to doing this, that number, that total number of what it costs to be in business, if you do it right, should shock you. It should surprise you. It will amaze you and maybe even frighten you a little bit. That's a good thing. And then you come back and you start building in the sales projections, and let that ripple through. Let a month's or a year's sales activity ripple through your model, and now you'll start to see how much it actually takes to keep a business afloat from a cash standpoint. And now, if nothing else has done it, the business model I'm talking to you about right now, the financial model, the cash flow model I'm talking about right now, if nothing else brings you to objectivity, this will, I promise you. And if more people, if everyone who starts a business would do what I just said and build this model, there would be a lot fewer failures. Because for two reasons. Number one, more businesses would be operated more successfully. And number two, some of you wouldn't start a business that you never should have started. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.